Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 463, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Tom Wilmot from Wilmot Computer Solutions. Welcome to the show, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Jeff. How's it going?
It is going awesome. I'm glad to be here on a Sunday night, getting ready to learn about you and your business.
Okay. See what I can share with everyone.
Sounds good. All right, so let's go ahead and start. For those that don't know you, kind of tell us where you're from and how you got started in computer repair.
Okay, well, I'm Tom Wilmot, Wilmot Computer Solutions, like Jeff said. I'm in a suburb of Chicago called West Dundee. It's about 40 minutes from O'Hare Airport.
Okay.
I like computers my whole life, grew up with them. My first computer was a Packard Bell. It was like a 266 megahertz, I believe it was.
Oh,
yeah.
That's old school there.
Yeah. Everything from Windows 3.1, I started with Windows 95. You know, fast forward, been working at UPS for 23 years now. That's my full-time job. I do this part-time during the days. I work nights at UPS, so it affords me the opportunity to work on computers during the day and also take my kids to school and pick my kids up from school. Pretty busy life. Back in 2004, UPS was still paying for schooling for its full-time employees, so my wife encouraged me, hey, you like computers? You know, why don't you go see what the community college has for computer courses? So following my wife's good advice, went to Elgin Community College and did 2 years there and took every single computer course they had and ended up with three different certifications, network administration, computer service technician, data communications and networking. And then also recently, I think what, a year ago or so, I took Ken Dwight's, the virus doctor, his course. I'm a certified malware specialist.
Ah, okay. Very good. Yeah. Very good course there. Yeah. That's, so you went to college and your job paid for, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And you were able to learn some things about the computer repair field and, go from there.
Correct. Yeah. It was pretty sweet. The setup they had labs and it was all like hands-on and stuff. Although the only thing about it back then, they were, you know, schooling, you were still, it was 2004, 2005, so they were still behind on what they were teaching us was like Windows 2000, Windows NT. So for nowadays, that's one thing that I do not do is I do not do server work. I only do like, you know, work groups of some small businesses. I don't touch servers. It's because the knowledge that I had back then, I may know a little bit of it, you know, with Active Directory and all that stuff, but that's server work is not something I won't do. And I recently joined Chamber of Commerce back in May, and I've just recently met a couple of the other computer IT consulting companies that are in the group, and two of them are actually, you know, I was kind of dreading the meeting them or talking to them, you know, thinking it could have gone one or two ways, you know. Either they'd like to work with you or, you know, I hate you, don't, you're going to take all my business or whatever. But no, they're both very nice and willing to work and help me out coming up in December. So I'm busy season at UPS. I basically don't do any computer work then. So I'm lining up my relationships to be able to refer work to them. And I also now have people that can, if I do have server work come up with, I can subcontract them to set that stuff up for me.
I think that's great. I think a lot of people should take some notes from there and say, you know, let me work with some of these other businesses, because if you want to go on vacation or you want to get away, or you've got, like you said, with your busy full-time job, mm-hmm. you want the ability to be able to pass that work back and forth. And again, it really comes down to relationships, I think, with the customer. And customers, I think a lot of times will take a certain computer repair person or business over somebody else just because the personalities work together. And so I know everybody's always kind of worried about the competition out there, but I don't really think you have to be, because again, there's certain personalities I like to work with and there's certain ones that I don't. And exactly. There's going to be somebody else out there that's going to be able to work with that. I'm not one of those people that says, hey, I got to work with everybody, because it's just not true. I don't need to work with everybody. I need to work with the people that want to work with me. And we have a good relationship back and forth. That's the way I look at it as a part-time tech myself. And it's funny because I'm listening to your story and I'm like, okay, we're very similar, because I've got 23 mm-hmm. years at Ford, been there now. Now, unfortunately, I'm on day shift, so that kind of changed some things for me. But for years, I was doing the same thing where I was doing my business during the day, and at night, I was going to work and then getting back up the next day and doing the same thing. So
very cool. It makes it interesting sometimes, kind of, what day of the week is this? It feels like it's never ending. Just
now, let me ask you this. Do you try to take any time off?
Actually, I'm on vacation this week from UPS, but I have tons of stuff already lined up that I got to get caught up on in the computer business. So
you're not really getting a vacation is what you're saying.
Yeah, not really.
We got to work on that. No, now what I meant by that too is, do you work Saturdays and Sundays as far as in your computer repair business, or do you kind of leave that family time?
Yeah, I try not to work on Sunday at all.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, I think you need at least one day a week where you can rejuvenate a little bit. So that's good.
Yeah, and I usually try to block time out on my calendar. I usually do like Wednesday or Thursday. I kind of just try to block out a couple hours there to have time for yourself.
Okay, good. Now, what do you do in your spare time when you have time for yourself?
try to get caught up and playing around. Like this morning, I had a little bit of spare time and I'll probably almost sabotage myself. I hooked up a Ubiquiti Edge Router X onto my system, because I know you were talking about you have wanting to have that hard-lined connection. So I went ahead and it was wireless, and I went ahead and hooked this thing up after hearing Steve Gibson talk about it. And it's quite the snappy little router there. Plenty of features for $50.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I really need to test some of those things out. I just have not gotten into being able to do some of those. And now, you said that was a Ubiquiti Edge Router?
Yeah, Ubiquiti Edge Router X. I believe it's about $50, and it has tons of features. Network isolation. It even has like a VPN on it. Packet filtering. Tons of stuff. Stuff I don't even understand.
Probably most of that stuff that you really don't need to use. So yeah, there's only a couple basic things that I'm sure most of us use. So very cool. Let's see. So you got started in computer repair. Your wife kind of nudged you in that direction. That's cool. Now, and you said, what year was that? Did you started?
Well, I went to school in 2004 through 2006, and then I started probably right just after that is probably when I started listening to all these different computer podcasts, and then I actually started my business doing business as Wilmot Computer Solutions in January of 2010, and just kind of went full-fledged in the last 2-3 years. Like I said, in the last 6 months, I joined the local chamber of commerce, and then I joined a networking group in the chamber, which was similar to a BNI group. It's called BARC, Business and Referral Connections.
Okay.
We meet weekly, and very similar to, I've heard people talk about BNI. It's very similar, loosely based on that. So it's helping me with lots of connections. I have a couple of meetings set up this week. That's why I was saying it. I'm off work, the other job, but it's going to be a busy week.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being busy, and it definitely gives you something to do and keeps you up on your skill set and all that kind of stuff. So that's mm-hmm. cool. All right. So, wow. Yeah. I can't believe And I've talked to you several times at several of these, you know, conventions and different things. Yep. I can't believe that our stories are that similar with starting the business and everything. Cause that's when I started was my official business was in 2010.
Yeah. So. And Joe Knezovich, I think he's going to be doing a show in a couple of weeks. He has a pretty similar thing too. He worked in for GM for many years and now does computers too.
Yeah. We were actually talking at the Toronto On convention and he said that he had been I believe he was a millwright. He was a tradesperson, and that's actually, I'm going into machine repair. So I'm actually 46 years old and I'm going back to school now for two and a half years.
I think you learn something new every day.
Absolutely. And I always want to be learning. It doesn't matter how old I get. I want to learn new things and have different skill sets that I can depend on to do what it is I do on a daily basis. So I find learning fascinating. Maybe it's just mm-hmm. because I'm getting old. I don't know. anyways. All right. So let's see. Now, what types of things did you start off doing in your business? Or what do you do in your business now as far as the types of things that you do, hardware, software, and otherwise?
Well, mostly originally I first started out, wanted to do everything and would take apart laptops and try to do soldering and all that. I burned my finger a few times, so I don't do soldering anymore. I don't mess around with that. Although one of the things I'm going to be doing this week is I have a Sony Vaio. I got to do the power jack on, but luckily it's just a harness, so no soldering there. then I do, like I said, I'm mostly residential, some small businesses, and trying to get into the managed services, as you probably just threw up in your mouth there, right?
No, I only, when it's managed service providers, when I throw up in my mouth, managed services is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think everybody should have some sort of managed service for their business. It's just that there's a lot of people that call themselves MSPs that aren't really MSPs, but whatever. That's another side note.
So I'm trying to do that. I have a couple small businesses I use Max Focus.
Okay.
And then I also use Kabuto, and I'm going to try to start doing some of the switching some of my residential people who I had on Max Focus, maybe switching them over to Kabuto and using some of their tools with patch management and such. I'm going to be changing my pricing coming up here. And if people don't want to go with the higher prices, I'll switch them over to Kabuto. If they want to stay with the higher prices, then I'll keep my Max Focus because I have reports I send to them and just changing things up a little bit.
No, that's good. Yeah. I like Kabuto. I've had access to Kabuto for a while and I was able to put it on some customer systems and stuff. And I started getting to the point where I was just like, you know what? Every system that comes in here, whether you want my managed service or not, I'm going to go ahead and put the Kabuto icon on there with all my stuff so that at least they have a way to contact me and there's a back and forth. I've noticed on a lot of computers that other companies have been doing this for a long time. And what I noticed was some of the things they were doing, I don't want to say were disingenuous, but it's like I would be called in to fix some of the problems that their software or they weren't cleaning up. They weren't doing a proper cleanup or whatever. And I'd come in and hey, what are you paying these guys? And it's like, mm-hmm. hey, we're paying them $10, $20, $25 a month. I'm like, what are they doing? Well, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, really? Okay. Interesting. So a lot of times I would just go, you know what? Let's just pull this stuff off. We'll put something else on there and we'll go from there. You want to do what's right by the customer all the time. And so to me in this business, integrity is number one. I think it's the most important thing that you can have. And from my standpoint, if I don't know something, I want to admit that I don't know something. And so that I can either learn it or maybe go and do something else. And maybe mm-hmm. I don't provide that product or service because I find somebody to network with and they're an expert at that product or service and they can use that way. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do this business, which I think is fascinating. I think it's fun to have the ability to do what we do And to not only that, but to be able to network with other technicians and business owners.
Definitely.
Now you were, so you went to ChannelCon in August of last year, correct?
Correct. That was in Chicago.
In Chicago.
At the Hyatt, I think it was. At the Hyatt or Hilton or something.
Yeah.
On Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. Right. I can't remember. Yeah. It's a big hotel. Mm-hmm. Very expensive parking. Yes.
I know. Terrible internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now, did you go down to the Channel Pro about a month after that?
Yeah, that was in Rosemont.
Yes, Rosemont. Okay.
Yeah, I think you were there. Paco was there, right. And I forget. There's a couple other people there, I believe.
Now, did you go to those things because they were local, or what made you decide to go ahead and invest some time in your business? Because I've heard of these things for years, but I never got involved up until a couple years ago.
Oh yeah. Well, the local aspect was huge for sure. I mean, it was, half hour from me. So yeah, definitely the local aspect was big. As far as the other convention I'd gone to, the unconvention, that just seemed like, no brainer to want to go to that after what we gained at the ChannelCon, like in those side sessions, all the stuff that you would learn and people you would meet and the connections. And it just seemed like that's, it was a no brainer to want to go to the unconvention.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask about that next, but that's perfect. I think would you say that it was worth not only the time, but the money spent in your business to help you not only to rub shoulders with other technicians and business owners, but also to kind of maybe change your mindset on certain things?
Oh yes, for sure.
Okay.
It's definitely worth it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You always wonder, because one of my big things is I'm not against certifications or anything like that. A lot of people might think that I am. I'm not. But education of one form or another, I definitely am all about that. So definitely educate yourself and keep the learning going.
Yep. Always learn something new every day.
Now, I'm looking at your website here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, so you said you do some of the residential, you've got the use Max Focus, and you said you do some business. Now, are your plans for your maintenance plans the same for your business and residential?
Yeah, they are. With the residential, I was going to offer them like three different tiers. But yeah, for the business, I just offer them basically one plan. It's kind of like everything that Max Focus gives you. It's just easier for me to do it that way.
Okay.
Like you say, everybody will do it differently. But that's how I was doing it for now, but I'm going to be changing that pricing.
Okay. No, I totally agree with that. I'm telling you, the only reason I came up with my hourly rate was because the math was easy. there's absolutely nothing else behind that. It's like, hey, I can charge every 15 minutes and here's what it costs. So, let's see. All right. So, got started in 2010, obviously been moving forward ever since. And I noticed that some of the things on your website where you offer backup.
Yeah, I use Carbonite.
Okay. And how's that been for you so far?
So far it's been good. So far it's been good. I never had any issues with it.
Nope, I haven't either. No, Carbonite is still my backup software of choice. So that's good. Very good. All right. So what other types of things do you do in your business that maybe, I don't know, either unique or just kind of, even if it's something that other people do that we haven't covered thus far?
Not sure really. I think I may have heard somebody else do this as well. To try to get some of the residential customers on my maintenance plan, I have kind of offered them like, if they don't want to go ahead and go in on the maintenance plan right away, I tell them I give them a free 30-day trial of it, and they can get some of the reporting or just see some of the features of it. And if they'd like, I'd even go ahead and give them a credit on their bill towards that plan if they pay for the whole year. That kind of sometimes incentivizes them to go ahead and take it. They get a little discount on it, and then you kind of, set them up for that recurring for next year.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's one way to market. And that's a lot of people don't consider marketing cost, but that is a marketing cost that you put together there to help those people hopefully become long-term customers. That's good. I like that. And now, do you do on-site?
No, I don't really like to. I mean, I can if for the small businesses, obviously you have to. You need to go out and meet with them. Residentials, I don't really like to do that. I just have them drop it off in my house. I work out of my home, and so I have people just drop it off in my home during the day while I'm home, and usually get it back to them in a couple days. If I were to go on site, most of the time, you know, in a few minutes if you're going to be able to take care of it right then and there. Otherwise, you just tell them, yeah, I'm going to take it back and get it back to you in a few days, and it'll be this flat rate. Or I could sit here for, you know, 5-6 hours and charge you $100 an hour or whatever, you know.
Right, exactly.
And you can have yourself a new machine at the end of the day, what I'm charging you.
Exactly. No, that's good. I don't like to go on site either, to be honest with you. I do on rare occasion have to, but for the most part, I'd rather just have people drop it off here. And I know some people don't like that, but it works out fine for my area and for what I do. So, especially having a full-time job, it works out really good.
Yeah, so far I haven't had any issues either with anyone dropping off over here. So,
no, big dog, lots of guns. Yeah, I wouldn't have to worry about any of that. No, that's good. So, now you were talking about you took Ken Dwight's virus remediation class, right?
Yeah.
And now, Ken's a friend of the network, and he's been on a couple of Podnuts episodes. Now, would you say that you learned a whole lot of different things from the fact of virus removal, the way that he kind of teaches you? Not to put you on the spot or anything. I'm just wondering what you got.
Definitely. I think there's a quote on his website or something from me that I think in those 2 days, I learned more about virus removal than I did in the previous 4 years of running my business, you know. It's the stuff that he said, you know, just the little things to save so much time, you know?
Right. No, I agree. Cause I was the same way. I went through his course and I was like, wow, I was one of those guys that just ran 16 hours worth of scans, called it good, and ran everything in the kitchen sink. And, you know, and of course doing it that way was fine because my customers got their computers back and they were fast. They were happy with it. And that was fine. The problem was the return on investment for the 16 hours that I'm working with it. Now, not that I'm sitting there for 16 hours, but the amount of scans and times that's sitting there on the bench doing all that stuff, I was wasting a lot of time. And that's really what I learned from his course is that you can actually use a formula to go from point A to point Z. And hit everything in between and go, okay, I've looked here, and I'm clean, good, ready to go. And it really doesn't take that much time if you have a process that you can do it with.
Yep. People should watch Mark Rusinovich's, was that at the TED Talks?
Yes.
Yeah. That
was awesome.
That's an excellent video to search it on YouTube.
Yep. Yep. I'll see if I can find that. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. I've got it saved somewhere. So what types of, I guess you said you had a couple stories to share. Okay. Why don't we go ahead and share some of those stories about your business and then we'll continue on from there.
Yeah. So with the, with all the Windows 10 upgrades in the past few months, I actually did a few of them remotely. With instant house call.
Okay.
One customer I have is in Vegas, and one customer up in Michigan. I forget exactly where she is, up somewhere up there by you.
Okay.
And I did both of those remotely, and went out without a hitch. I don't know. The only thing that I could say, because I told a couple of people that they just looked at me like I was crazy. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with doing it. I didn't have any problems with it. The only thing I'd say that I did that might have helped was I went and did like a full quick tune up on it. Both of those customers were on my maintenance plan, so my little hands-on probably took maybe 10 or 15 minutes just to run a few things, you know, clean up a few things, make sure everything was all up to date.
Okay.
And went off without a hitch.
Oh, very good. Now, what was the process you used to do that? Because I know a lot of people, you're basically up. So you basically were updating from, they were on Windows 7, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Windows 7. What I did remotely is I used D7.2.
Okay.
And had that, you know, if you're familiar with that, you can go ahead and set things up, programs. You click some boxes on what you want to run. Go ahead and hit the start button, and there's an option in there where it'll even send you the email to go ahead and check back on. It's like if you're walking away doing a couple other things, you got your phone on, you'll get an email when that maintenance or whatever stuff is done.
Okay. So you got the maintenance and stuff done, and then you just went and did the upgrade to mm-hmm. Windows 10, and no problems.
No problems. Both times, they just Instant House Call even just reconnected with me.
Nice. That's very cool. All right, good. I'm glad. Now, have you haven't done any where you've had to do any, I don't know, nuke and paves over remote software or anything like that?
No, I haven't done any of those. No, I have running into one issue that I am having is with one of my small business customers. You go into some of these people do these home businesses and stuff they have. he had some guy off of Craigslist or some kid off of Craigslist built a machine for him. It was like a Frankenstein machine. That's how he first brought it to me. He's found me and he's like, yeah, can you fix this machine? It's not booting up. You wouldn't believe this thing he brought to me. It was in those boxes that the reams of paper come in. He brought this machine into me, and it was one of those old tan machines, you know, from like the late 90s.
Oh my gosh.
This guy had an old power supply in there. Then he had a gaming motherboard in there and with an SSD. And the thing wouldn't boot up. Come to find out, it was a power supply. So I'm like, I told the guy, well, I'm replace the power supply. Let's get you a new case, too. This thing looks terrible. I mean, you're using it in your home business, but still, this thing looks terrible. So I was able to upgrade that. Did inventory on some of his other systems. And his wife's an accountant. And they wanted to get everything squared away before next tax season. And so he was asking me about doing a server, and I said, I really don't think you need a server, just, you know, having a couple workstations and stuff. You know, this guy was ready to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, not really wanting to waste people's money when they don't really need it. So right. I talked to a couple other people. I actually talked to Joe Knezovich about this, because he does do server work. So I was consulting him about it, and he's like, yeah, they don't need a server for that. So I'm a Dell partner. So called Dell up and got him a really nice Dell Precision workstation. He wanted it with RAID. So we went ahead and put the RAID, I believe it was RAID 0. It was just mirrored.
Okay. Yep.
And went ahead and got that thank God I got it with the Pro Support next day service. Because I was over there another day and we were talking about I believe it's a WatchGuard firewall from some other technician along the years put that in there, and he wanted to start getting the VPN working on there. So we were over there wanted to talk about this, and his power goes out.
Oh,
so previously to that, I had started doing some work for him and upgrading some of his machines. Upgraded some of these Frankenstein machines to Windows 10 Pro because his wife is an accountant. They have this accounting firm, so they're having to deal with some FINRA compliance. So, you know, upgraded to Windows 10 Pro to use BitLocker. I had done a couple of the machines, but not all of them.
Okay.
The new Dell machine was in there, BitLocker and everything, and one of the Frankenstein machines, I think two or three laptops he had. I think it was like five machines total. Some had BitLocker, some didn't. The Dell machine came back. He called me like 2 hours later and told me, yeah, two of my machines after that power outage didn't turn back on. I was like, oh, great. And then I was thinking, oh, wait, I'm glad because he was considering having me build a custom machine. Now I'm so glad that I sold him the Dell machine with the next day pro support. So right. If anything happened there, you know, they called Dell, they'd be out there the next day. So it turned out on the one machine, the other machine that didn't boot up, it had a BitLocker on it. But this machine was a Frankenstein machine that some kid off Craigslist built for him. So it wasn't a business machine. So it didn't have, on the motherboard, it didn't have the TPM module. So in order to do BitLocker on the Windows 10 Pro, there's a registry setting that you have to change to allow BitLocker with the extra password at startup. Mike Smith actually briefly talked about this at the unconvention. I'm not sure if you remember that. He talked about that issue. But anyways, so that machine, what I believe happened when the power went out and the machine was still on, the registry, that setting doesn't get written back to the registry, I believe. So when you try to reboot that machine, that registry entry is not there to allow for the password, so the computer won't boot up.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Okay.
So what I had to do is take the drive out, put it in another system and try to unlock it. It would not unlock. So thank God though, that this was his, a front desk machine. So he didn't really have anything on there. So I'm just I did have to do a nuke and pave. So long story, going back to the nuke and pave, that one I just that I did have to do a nuke and pave on. So I think if he would have had the battery backup system, like I on my first consultation with him, told him that he should have battery backup in there.
Right.
So he told me he did at one time, but then his wife didn't like all the beeping or something that was going on.
That's because you need to replace the battery.
you gotta love it. But yeah, I believe that's what happened. Okay. since that machine didn't have, now the Dell system came right back up, but I believe that's because of the TPM module. I could be wrong. That's just my guess on what had happened there.
Okay. No, that makes perfect sense. And the only reason I was asking that original question was about the nuking and paving is because I have to do my father's computer, who's down in Florida. And one of the things that I wanted to do, what I did originally was he has a 3 terabyte drive hooked up to it, external hard drive, one of those Western Digital books. Mm-hmm. And so I used Fabs Auto Backup, backed everything up, all his files and everything onto that drive. And then, so now I want to remote in and actually, we're either going to put it back to Windows 7, which I think his particular laptop's going to work better with that, versus the upgrade that he did on Windows 10, either that or I'll do a fresh install of Windows 10 because he did the upgrade and there's just certain things that don't work. Mm-hmm. And so in his particular case, it's one of those things where I've got to make a decision one way or the other. Kind of, he likes to do things with his laptop that not everybody does, like hook it up to your TV.
Oh, okay.
You know what? So a lot of times these drivers and stuff that are made from, and I believe this is an HP, Dell, HP, and so on and so forth, they're going to be pretty proprietary for those particular machines.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, if you want to use it like you're using it before, we might just have to go back to Windows 7. It's still supported. You're good till whatever, 2020 now. It's no big deal. I don't know that you're missing anything with Windows 10. The other thing he likes to do is he has a program that he bought where he can make copies of DVDs for the senior centers and stuff like that, and in different places where they do some of the production stuff in the park they're in. So,
mm-hmm.
But that stuff's got to work. And so that's kind of where we're at now. But that's the only reason I was asking, because I'm like going, because if something goes wrong, then I've got to actually walk a person through over the phone, which is something I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
If I can touch it, do it, and take care of it myself, and maybe, hey, can you hit the power button or something like that? That's fine. But if I've got to walk somebody through the steps and explain to them what they need to do, that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I probably did. I think I think it was probably about between 6 and 10 of those upgrades remotely. But like I said, they were all upgrades. I did have one where it didn't reconnect, and it was a Surface Pro 2. Mm. I don't know what was the issue with that. I just had to have this was at a daycare. I just had to have the lady go in there and restart the computer. And then as soon as it restarted, then it reconnected. You know, I thought I was maybe going to have to go in there, but nope, just had to have her physically restart the computer.
Okay.
And that's then good. It did reconnect. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Remote support for a lot of these things is much better than having to either even having a customer bring it in or actually having to go out on site. Saves a lot of time.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Tom, what else? What any other stories you got for us?
Then I did have a ransomware customer. And this is actually a customer I had on a trial of my managed services on Max Focus, and had everything on there. But it's one of those things, I don't know if I think I've heard you say or somebody else say before, there's nothing is 100%. You know, you can have somebody had said the safest car in the world, and you drive that into a wall at 100 miles an hour, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
So this guy, I'm quite certain he clicked on something and installed something he shouldn't have. So he was one of those people where, oh, I need my computer ASAP. I need it right now. I need it today. I need you to fix this right away. You know, okay, well, what about your files? Don't you want to try to get those back? Or, you know, want me to try to research it? And I think it was, the files were encrypted and they were like dot crypted. And I think I found it was like, they were saying that it was probably some kind of Neomat or Nicomat. I forget something.
Okay.
But the solution to possibly decrypt the files was you needed to have a clean version and an encrypted version, and you put them into this program, and I think it checked the hashes or something, and
okay.
Then it did like a reverse engineering to come up with the key.
Gotcha.
But he didn't want to wait to, he had his files because he used Google Drive, but he didn't use the sync tool. Like he would just occasionally just upload stuff. I don't use Google Drive.
Okay.
But I believe that's what he said, that his files were fine. So whatever. It's just, you know, some of these people were this, oh no, I got to have it right away. It's just like unbelievable.
Yeah. I think I made a point in our show earlier today that there are really, in most cases, there are really no emergencies, but to the person that's going through it, to them, it is an emergency.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but don't care at the same time. So
yeah.
not that I don't care about the customer, but it's like, do you want this done right? Or do you just want it done? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, very good. Anything else?
Then I had a customer that had, one of these cheap, he got it on a Black Friday, I believe. Computer had a touchscreen on it.
And oh,
he was having issues with the computer not starting. So I'm like, okay, well, I took it and got it home, took the battery out, held the power button down to completely discharge it, plugged the battery back in, hit the power button, it turned right on. So
nice.
I don't know what the deal was there. I went ahead and just gave it back to him, didn't charge him anything, and just told him if he has the issue again, I told him I didn't really do anything, so wasn't going to charge you. But if you still have the issue in the future, give it to me. I'll do a, you know, diagnostic on it and see if there's maybe some software causing the issue, because there was power to the laptop, but there was nothing coming on the screen. So
right. That does happen on occasion on laptops. But, Tom, I'll just say this, that I used to do the same thing. But what I do is I actually do a diagnostic regardless, and I at least charge them my diagnostic fee, even when it's an easy fix.
Yeah.
That'll be $40. Yes, I didn't do anything. I had a similar situation with a laptop that a lady had brought me, and basically the power button, the machine was stuck on. So, and it's a, it was an all-in-one, and I believe it was a, an Asus or an Acer, but it was an all-in-one kind of a laptop, real thin and everything, big 17-inch screen. But anyways, in order to get it, in order to unplug the battery, you basically had to pull the whole bottom of the case off. And so I go in there, I do that, no problem, thing powers off. Then I go back to start it up, I hit the power button. What do you know? Turns right back on. So I go through, do a couple things, shut it back off, go to shut down, shut it down, and then I go to turn it back on. Nothing. I'm pushing a button, And I had noticed in between the time that I pushed the button originally and it worked, there was a little light by the button, and all of a sudden the light for the switch went out. And I'm like, okay. So I open it back up to see. And unfortunately, this power switch is attached directly to the motherboard. So worst case scenario, you have to replace the whole motherboard. So what I did, I did what's called, what I would call a Hail Mary. And what I did was I actually have some contact cleaner for electronics. And I shut everything off, unplugged the battery, got everything discharged and everything, and sprayed this contact cleaner inside where the power switch was at. And it's an alcohol base and it dries real quick and everything. And just let it sit, let it dry, you know, use my dryer and kind of hit it with some air, dried it up real good and put everything back together. And lo and behold, all of a sudden the switch started working. So the only thing I can think is when I open this laptop up, it's one of those ones where a young person is probably using it on a bedspread. And there's just a lot of collection of dust and different things because you got to keep these things with a clear airflow in order to not collect that stuff. And yep. I'll tell you what, I went in and the thing was really dusty. So I cleaned all that stuff out. But in between that time that I had opened it up and cleaned everything out, now when you go to start it up, the fan was so super loud. Mm-hmm. And you could just tell the fan was starting to fail. So I let the customer know. I said, you know what? I said, fix the power switch. Here's what we did, but really we need to replace this fan. Here's how much it's going to cost. She's like, yeah. Because she was even at the point where if it was the motherboard, she was still, because it was such a high-end machine, she was still going to have me replace the motherboard. And as a matter of fact, it was funny because when I went and returned the machine, she gave me too much money. And I didn't realize it till later. And I was like, hey, you gave me way too much money. I said, we didn't have to replace the motherboard at this point. I said, if we do, here's what it's going to cost. But here's what I was able to do. All I did was replace the fan, and I cleaned the switch out and cleaned the whole inside out, and hopefully this will get you through. Because I've looked at this machine before, and I can't remember what I did to it last time. I think there were some screws that were missing or something out of the bottom, and the hinges were messed up. Oh, no, the power switch. The power switch where you plug it in at. So that was bad. So I replaced that probably 6 months before this. But that power switch, man, being attached right to the motherboard, there's not a whole lot you can do at that point. Because that thing is so tiny. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not unsoldering that and trying to solder another one in. And reality is, I could have gotten a motherboard, but I don't think a lot of those parts you're actually going to be able to get. Especially not for older laptops. So,
yeah.
All right. Now that I've gone on way too long. Any other stories?
I had a gaming desktop that a customer brought to me, and just no video. Took that apart, and the thing was pretty filthy inside.
Okay.
Had to, even after blowing it out, blowing the dust out of it, it was still like residue on the fans.
Oh,
and you know, had to take like went ahead and took like, you know, some, had to take some like Q-tips and like rubbing alcohol to, you know, get some of the stuff off of there. The graphics card, I believe it was like a, I don't know, I'm not into gaming, I believe it was like an AMD HD Radeon or something like that.
Okay. Yep.
After blowing it out, the fan wouldn't even spin at all. So I had to take the fan apart, take the fan off, disassemble the graphics card, and then I was able to find a replacement fan on, I believe it was Alibaba or AliExpress, something like that.
Okay. Yep.
Like a, I think it's like a, what, a Chinese site or something, I believe.
Right.
And yep. So I had to order the fan. It was like $13. It took like 10 days to get that. Put the thing back together, cleaned it up as best I could, gave it back to the customer, and he played it for a couple minutes, and then it shut off on him.
Oh.
So, yeah. So he had to bring it back to me, and then I was just guessing that maybe, you know, it was overheating, so I went ahead and pulled the graphics card back out and pulled it apart and had it cleaned off the heatsink on the graphics card and went ahead and put some fresh Arctic Silver on there, put it back together, and it was funny trying to watch me play some of these games. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. You know, just trying to test it out to see, you know, so I didn't want to get back to him again.
Sure.
And I had, at that time, I was working on another system, so I had two keyboards hooked up and on my desk, my work station area, and my wife was in the room. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't even know what I'm doing in this game. And then she just happened to say, are you using the right keyboard? Because she noticed there was two keyboards there. I grabbed the other one. Sure enough, that's what it was. Like, oh my God, to move this guy forward or whatever. But anyways, long story short, I gave it back to the customer, and that's what it was. It was overheating, and then he said it worked fine. So
okay,
I guess after a while the thermal paste will dry out on those graphics cards. You know, it was an older machine, I think maybe 5 years old or something.
Well, here's the problem. They shouldn't, but here's the problem. Once you get caked in dirt and fans aren't moving properly and the airflow is not going, what ends up happening is those things overheat for long periods of time. And that's actually what drives the thermal paste out and makes it to where it cracks and it doesn't have that, it's basically not metal to metal anymore. Now you've got little fissures in there where the heat is not actually able to dissipate like it used to. So, in a lot of cases like that, because you really should. I mean, I've got old graphics cards that are probably 10 years old, mm-hmm. and they were used heavy, and they still work today. So, definitely, a lot of people don't realize how much dust and dirt will actually affect their systems.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now, what did you use to blow it out?
I think I used, I forget what the name of it is. It's a little, it's like a power duster. Let me see, I have it. I believe Paco talked about it on a show. I can't think of it. The it's an electronic duster. I forget. I can't think of the name of it. Looking around in my office here, can't seem to find it. I clean my office next week.
Is it the DataVac duster?
That would be it.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't hear that from Paco. Paco heard that from me.
There you go.
Actually, I heard it from one of the guests that came on the show, and they were talking about it, and I ordered one, and I'm like, because for years I had been using a leaf blower.
Yeah.
And the leaf blower worked great for everything that I was doing, but leaf blowers aren't very portable.
Exactly.
So, I got this little thing and I love it. I take it out to the garage and blow that thing out. And even in my office, I can sit there and blow the laptops and stuff out because there's not as much dust built up in there.
It comes with the little attachments on there, and it's got the little filter on the bottom of the can too.
Yep. Yeah, and you can clean it off nice and easy. So the inside of the can, it's a great little unit. And I think it was like maybe $45 or something.
Yeah, I think it was about around $50, something like that. That's great.
So
definitely.
Definitely. That's cool. Good. I'm glad that message is getting around because I didn't even know what it was until somebody told me, hey, you got to get one of these.
Mm-hmm. Like,
okay, cool. All right, very good. Any other stories? I know you had a list of them.
Yeah, I think that was it. I'm not trying to I don't see anything else here.
Great stories, man. Hey, let's talk real quick about maybe what you've talked about some of the tools, but what are some of your favorite tools, software or hardware, that you absolutely cannot live without?
In doing repairs?
Yes.
I really like the D7. I just and I'm probably not even using it. Don't even have it configured. I configured it like one time and just left it there. I mean, there's probably so many other features in there too that I'm not using, but it's so nice and small with that SFX Mini that you can you're working remotely, you know, you send that across. That thing, it's nice if you're working on a remote machine, you know, you send that little file, you open it up. I have it set up with my logo. My logo comes up, you know, while it's downloading the files.
Right.
It just looks so professional, you know. And then you got the program opens up. It's got your logo there, and you check all the different things. And it's just, I love that program.
Very cool. And it probably makes your job that much easier because you're doing the same process or pretty close to the same process every time. And if you need to make small adjustments here or there, you can. But once it's set up, you can just kind of go through your gambit of tools and then, oh, hey, we need to do this, this, and this too. Or maybe we need to not do these on this particular system. So,
yeah. And then as far as like that would be for remotely. And then for when systems are brought to me, I always use Tech USB.
Okay.
And I run the hardware test on the machine. I always, the first thing I always do on any machine remotely, or if I have it here, is I check the hard drive. That's the first thing I do. So many times in the past, you know, machine is slow or something, and you waste a whole bunch of time doing all these other things to come to find out that the hard drive was bad.
Right.
If you would have known that, you never would have done any of that other work.
I can't tell you how many times that I've fixed something to find the hard drive bad. And I'm like going, I just wasted X amount of time getting this done. And I'm just like, what? It wouldn't have taken anything to check the hard drive first.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good rule of thumb. Very good. Do you have any hardware tools that are your favorites?
No, nothing.
Other than the DataVac.
Yeah, the DataVac, and recently got the Link Sprinter 300.
Ooh, nice.
Yet to use that on site yet. I will be doing that this week. Played with it a little bit at my own home network.
Okay.
Let's see. Nothing I can think of that's stuff people haven't heard of.
Yeah, I was just asked because, you know, if there's a favorite tool that, you know, I've had a favorite screwdriver set since I started because it just works. And it was a $20 set I bought years ago for taking apart laptops. And it's still one of my favorite ones today. So,
yeah.
6 years later. All right. And what are some of your business tips that work for you in your business that you would recommend for others?
Well, definitely, would say if, you're looking to get some new business, look into your local chamber of commerce, join your local chamber of commerce. They, usually have different rates, especially if you're working out of your home. I know my chamber, they charge you less to join, you know, running a home-based business. Then they also usually will have networking groups. So I joined a networking group similar to BNI and, you know, just meeting with other business owners, and they have events all the time. There's like every week you get emails on different events, you know, ribbon cuttings at businesses. Businesses will host Rise and Shine networking events. There's after hours drinks at restaurants, luncheons. Businesses will host lunch and learns. If you get involved with your local chamber, that's definitely a good way to meet your local other local businesses and get your name out there. And you will definitely get your money back, I believe.
Very good. Sounds good. Now, is that something you have to go to meetings, or is that kind of a, you can go if you want?
The chamber encourages you to go to, try to go to one event a month.
Okay.
The business and referral group that I'm in, we go to a weekly meeting, and we do a presentation quarterly on our business, where we stand up in front of all the other businesses and give a presentation on some aspect of our business for 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And we start off every meeting doing your elevator speech. So
okay.
That's something I need. I still need to work on that. But that's a good environment to practice stuff like that amongst people that you're seeing every week, so you feel comfortable with them, and they can help you out. And, you know, they're business owners too, so they will give you tips on business as well.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome to hear. Yeah. Getting around that stuff and doing it over and over again, you know, we're talking about the podcast and sometimes being nervous coming on a show or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've been nervous, and even doing the show for so many, last couple of years, it wasn't until probably about 6 months ago that I've actually stopped being nervous every time I would get on even a phone call like this using Skype or the weekly show that we do. It's like second nature. So the more you do something, the more it becomes like, you know how to drive a car. And a lot of times you don't even know how you got home. Mm-hmm. And you went that same route every time, and you ended up there, and you're like, I don't remember making any of the turns, but I got here. So
yeah,
it becomes just like that. So that's good. Good stuff. Well, Tom, I appreciate you taking a Sunday evening out away from the family and whatnot and coming on the show and sharing with us a lot of good stuff, a lot of great stories, and appreciate getting to know you a little bit better. So if people want to find out more about you, where would you send them?
You can email me, tom@wilmotcs.com. That's tom@wilmotcs.com. Or I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter.
Got all the profiles. Awesome.
Sure. right on the website, wilmotcs.com.
Awesome, man. Well, I definitely appreciate it. You guys can find me on the Google+ at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on this show like Tom was, email me at guest@podnuts.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping on Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.